Can you hear me?
Yes, my love.
Wonderful. I am here in Germany and you are in South Africa. That's very good that we can use modern technology to communicate so freely. I thought I will give a little talk now and then we will make a meditational exercise. And after that, we can tend to any questions which come up. And the way I suggest to do it is that you all send your questions to our host, and who gave the announcement, and the host will then place the questions before me. And that is the most simple way, because I'm not so much a computer man. So first of all, welcome all of you, my dear audience. It is a great pleasure for me to address you today on the subject of going deeper, which obviously has made a great impact on the subject into my own life. Now I'm trying in my own life to go deeper into my spiritual practice, because I have seen in my life that if you want to get anything out of life, it is only possible when you commit yourself 100% to it and do not hesitate. Let me give you an analogy which is found in India, where there is in many parts not enough water. And if I want to drill water and I go, let us say, down into the ground for 4 meters, then I think, no water. Maybe I should drill somewhere else for water. So I take my equipment out of the ground and drill at another place for water. And here I give up after 3 meters. And then I go to yet another place and I drill there. And let us say I have only patience to drill for 2.50 meters, and then I also give up. Then I will never, when I continue to drill like this, I will never ever get to any water. But say I have gone for 4 meters, then 3 meters, then 2.50 meters. That makes altogether 11.50 meters. Maybe I would have gotten water by now, because I've taken my effort and gone deep in one direction. Then only the water will come to me. This is a very important rule of life. Whatever it is that you do, unless you go deep, you will not obtain the desired results. You can apply that in sports. If you do not wake up to the challenge to run, let us say, for a certain amount of kilometers, the effect will not really come to you. You can do this, you can see that in study. If you do not commit yourself and learn a subject matter thoroughly, you will remain ignorant and you will not be able to understand the science very deep. And certainly this little rule applies also to your spiritual practice. I have seen window shoppers amongst the spiritual interested who try a little bit here, try a little bit there, try a little bit here, and then hope to make a deep experience. It is not possible. If you want to go deep, there is a simple formula which I would like to suggest to all of you. It is here where it might be very helpful for you to take a piece of paper and a pen and just make a few notes, because I will ask you at the end of this program that you try to apply this simple formula in your life, a formula which will definitely help you to go deeper. It's the three P's. What are three P's? I'm speaking of the letter P, like in Pradyumna. The first practice for anyone who wants to go deeper is to read the philosophy, because that will give him the reasons to go deeper. It will give him a sustainable strength. Then he should look for people who have already excelled in their spiritual life. For a devotee of Krishna or a bhakti yogi, that means he should have sadhu sangha, inspiring association, friends that are on a slightly higher level but who are affectionate towards us, affectionate enough that a good relationship can form. And finally, the third letter P stands for practice. After having become convinced by the philosophy, after having talked or seen or been in the association of people who are living that philosophy and who have obtained something, he or she should then commit to the actual process of going deeper, that is spiritual practice. I will now speak about all these three items, but before doing so, I would like to bring another subject to your attention. The subject matter which I wish you to think about is that a life which is not really lived in a with a systematic orientation, that means a clear goal which you know today I will walk through towards that goal, such a life will be very frustrating for you. Also, a spiritual life. If you do not understand that this is my goal, and this is my path, and these are my next steps which I will take this day, then you will always remain in a cloud of wishful thinking without ever getting firm results. You will always think it would be so nice if I would be able to live like a saintly person, if I would feel love in my heart and compassion and a deep spiritual realization. You would always feel like that, however, because you would not, you're not attaining it, you will become frustrated. My dear people, for everyone who goes, I don't know, our host addressed you as my dear devotees, so devotees and everyone who listens, it is very important that you identify your spiritual goal and then the next steps which you undertake to go in this direction. I would like to share with you something which is very private to me. It is a very, very life-shaping experience which I made when I was only 9 or 10 years old. I was very much trained in my life by my grandfather. He was a wise man. He had learned a lot. He was a very kind person and very much respected in our family. And he tutored me. He mentored me. He sat down with me and he trained me from a very young age. So one winter, he said, "We will now go together into the swamps." Now, I hope that everyone understands what that is. That is, you know, a place where they get some type of earth that can burn. It is full of water. You have to be really careful to stay on the way, because if you come left and right from the path, you come into this part of the earth which pulls you down, you know, and you drown in the swamps. So it was winter time. The swamps were frozen. But he took me there for some reason which he was not explaining to me. So we had a little sledge which we pulled in the snow, and we took a taxi. It brought us to the area, and then we started to walk. There was only nature around us. Occasionally there was a tree and sometimes a cross. One time a cross where you know, where Jesus was hanging. And the dusk turned into night. It became pitch black. I remember we wandered. We saw the cross, and then after 30 minutes, half an hour, we again came to the cross. And my grandfather said, "Oh, we are going in circles. We have lost the way. We are lost now. And the cold night of the winter is coming upon us." First I thought he was joking, because my grandfather always knew many things, and I had never seen him before not knowing about something. But now he did not know what was most important for us, the path. Oh, I remember after I asked, "Do you think you don't know where we are going?" "No," he said, "we are moving in circles. See, we have again, for the second time, come by the cross." "You mean we are lost?" "Yes." "But then we will not have a place to sleep in the night?" "No, we won't have. We will freeze to death." When I heard this, I started to cry. But my grandfather said, "Crying will not help us. Think a little bit. What will help us?" I said, "I have no idea if we are lost and we don't know the path." "No idea." Then the grandfather said, "We must go in one direction. We are surrounded by civilization. This is only an area of 15 or 20 square kilometers where there is no one is living. We must go in one direction, but how can we do that? Think! Oops, one direction, how can we do this? I had no idea, because in the night there were no orientations. Then my grandfather said, listen, we must walk in the direction of the North Star. Every other star will change in the course of a night. The Great Bear will change. All other formations of stars will turn around. Only one star will remain the same. No matter it doesn't matter that everything else changes. This star we have to find, and we have to move always in the direction. And I will now point out the North Star. So I do remember that he showed somewhere where the Dipper, the Great Dipper is, and then he made an axis. He knew many things, and he then showed to me one brightly shining star, and he said, that's the North Star. So what we will do is, I will walk, you will sit on the sledge. That is the thing which goes through snow, right? And you will tell me, when I am losing track, when I'm no longer going in the right direction. So now we were walking in one line. That's what was needed. We were walking. Whenever my grandfather would go too much left, I would say, go right. When he would go too much right, I would say, now go left. And I would have that North Star as my orientation. Eventually, we reached a farmer's house. There was still light in it. He was awake. The next thing I knew was that my grandfather spoke with the farmer. And then the farmer put me on his sofa and gave me a hot tea. And I must have fallen asleep, because after that I only remember that I woke up in my own bed the next morning. And I never ever forgot this. The North Star, which is always shining, which you can always find, which is not affected by any external changes, which can always give us the orientation. If you identify that, you can never be lost. We are speaking today about the subject of going deeper. But where do you want to go deeper? You don't want to go deeper just in sports or your studies. This is a spiritual mission, a spiritual program. The song is Wake Up South Africa. No? So it's about spiritual awakening. So this North Star, spiritual life, where I realize clearly who I am and what is my relationship with the Supreme, with Krishna, that is the North Star. That should be always there, our goal. And we should know what are the next steps which we take on the path. I want to now address for a moment those who are practicing already bhakti yoga. My dear devotees, or those of you who are trying to walk this path, if you wake up in the morning and you only know what is the North Star, you are partially educated in Krishna consciousness. You need to know what steps you need to take to go to the North Star. In my little example, it is very simple. It is very clear. There were two people who were lost in the swamps, and they needed an orientation so that they could move out and eventually come to the places of the civilized places where there are houses and traffic, and one can go back to his home. For us it was easy once we knew the North Star. We knew, okay, we just move in this direction. This is an analogy, and it gives us an idea, but the fact of spiritual life or spiritual practice is a little bit more difficult, because you need to know what is my next step in the right direction, which is given by my spiritual goal or the North Star. This is of utmost importance in spiritual life. I've seen many spiritualists, many devotees, of many people of other spiritual orientations who know about the spiritual goal but not the next step which is waiting for them. And in this way, they cannot go very deep. And many times they live a lazy, unfulfilled life which has no purpose at all, where they may even fall back to material habits after some time. This should not be there. This does not need to be there. So, good. After having identified your, let us say, North Star, there are these three spiritual practices which we have heard about in general, and which I want to now cover a little bit more in the depths. Let's start with philosophy. It is really very important that every day you read in the Bhagavatam and you extract the principles out of your reading. You should look, what is the point here? What can I take out of it so that your reading is successful? In India, they have sugar cane. Inside the cane, I think in South Africa we also have. Yes, South Africa, do we have sugar cane? Our dear host, please inform me.
Yes, Maharaj, we do have.
We have sugar cane. Mauritius, we have sugar cane as well. So in the sugar cane, there is some nice juice from which you can get sugar. But you have to bring the cane into a something which presses the cane. It can be two iron round walls like things which go like this. It can be anything, and then you can extract the juice. In the same way, the philosophy inside is a sweet juice, a very deep understanding, motivational things are in there, nourishing things, spiritual practices. There is a whole wonderful world. You need to know how to draw that out, just like a person needs to know how to draw the juice from the sugar cane. There is a simple process which you can apply to draw the juice up, or the nourishing, life-giving force out. It's three things. And again, notes, to take notes is very helpful. You first hear the point. It's called Shravana. Then the second, what you do is you reflect about it. You think about it in your own way. Okay, what did I just read? And then you take something out of what you have just read, and then you apply it. You live by it. You make it into, wow. Or applying could also mean if there is something which you cannot, which is inspiring, but it's not an instruction to live, then you share it with a friend. And in this way, you will see a lot of taste comes, a lot of juice will come. What was the second point which you can do to go deeper? People.
Associate.
Yes, associate. Oh, our dear, I know you. I have seen your picture and I know you. I recognize you. Welcome, Prabhu. Welcome, Hare Krishna. You need to find association that is inspiring, that is a little bit on your level, on your wavelengths. You feel attracted to these devotees because you can learn from them. A little bit your own people, so to say. The Sanskrit is Svajana, my own people. But see that they are a little bit more advanced. If you are an attached newcomer and you find another attached newcomer, you will both pull yourself down. It should be an elevating, uplifting society which you look for the people. And you should serve them. You should inquire from them. And you should, then become active. And the last thing is practice. Practice, practice. If you can do these things, you will become very deep in a very short time. So the first thing is find something you can commit yourself to. Therefore, I gave the analogy of drilling and staying at the same hole, where you drill deeper and deeper and deeper, not start drilling everywhere, but remain more or less stuck on the surface. The second point which I wanted to tell you is know about your spiritual goal and know the next steps which you can take in this direction. And the third point I wanted to speak about is taking the right steps means to do three things. Study the philosophy on a regular daily level, but in a way that you can extract the principle, extract the juice, so to say. Have association with elevated devotees with whom you can speak about spiritual subject, and finally practice, practice, practice. And I need now a little orientation. I wanted to make a little exercise with you. I need to see from our host what is the time frame in which we our work in which we do this call. Please tell me, I see here on my time I have done half an hour of talking. How much more time do we have, please?
We have half an hour more, ma'am.
Half an hour more. Is some, and in that time we want to also answer questions. Is this right?
Yes.
Good, 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 good. Fine. So, my dear people, microphone for him. My dear people, I would like to do one practice now with you, the singing of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I believe most of you on this call are familiar with the mantra. If there are some of you who are not familiar with the mantra, you might as well just follow the guidelines which I will give you, and then when we come to sing, you might just like to sit in peace and just hear the singing. That is the best and easiest way. Is the sound still okay? Because in some Zoom emissions, when you add an instrument, everything becomes distorted. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, Maharaj.
Good, good, good. All right. My dear participants in this call, we will first do a little exercise that helps us to focus a little, to become peaceful, calm, and experience a stillness where our restless mind becomes satisfied. And then from that level, we will sing the Maha Mantra. Please sit. Straight, if you have difficulties to sit straight because most of you are before the computer all day, imagine you have wings, weighty wings, which just put you in a straight way. No? They grow on the back. You can take your shoulders up like me, roll them in the back. This will open your chest so that you will be able to breathe nicely. Now, I request you to breathe, to focus on your breath. Make nice and long exhales and nice and long inhalations. Out, breathing and in and out. And in and out and in. Nice, good breath, and appreciate how you're becoming more calm, more centered, more within. yourself. It's now you and only your breath. In the Gita, Krishna says how he is the breath. We will now turn to him by singing the Maha Mantra. I will one time sing and then you kindly repeat. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Going deep. So what we will do now is We will sing, but this time we will focus on singing the mantra and hearing the mantra, and it will go in our heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Thank you all very much for participating. You can just sing, or you can go deeper in your singing by using your mouth, your ear, and then going right into your heart, where you're fully engaged with gratitude, with love, with devotion. And then you can go deeper. You can do this in your reading. You can ask, where are the principles, and extract them. You can do that going deeper in your association with more advanced people. You always have to learn to go deeper. And once you do that, you find the water. You find the nectar. You find the inspiration. That is sure. That we know. Good. I will now see if there are any questions which we can look at and then discuss.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, there are no questions in the chat box, but if anyone wants to ask a live question right now, you are free to do so.
Hare Krishna
Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
This is Advaita from Italy. All glory to Shri Prabhupada.
Nice to see you, Advaita.
So, my question is, you say that we should extract like from the sugar cane. So my question is, regarding to the spiritual matters and the philosophy matters, which is the most genuine and effective way to extract these jewels?
Yes. The Bhagavatam gives us three principles which help us to extract the jewels. First, it speaks about reading whatever we read with some amount of faith. The second is to read regularly, that is every single day. And the third is to make an effort to be focused and attentive while you read. Let us go through each of these practices. We should understand, here's an information which comes from a higher level. So some faith is required that let me understand, let me acknowledge, although I may not grasp it and understand it at the moment, what I'm hearing is from the spiritual level, and therefore it is on a totally different level than I can that I can grasp and analyze and understand. So some faith that this is something spiritual is required. Then you must do it regularly. See, I always have hot water and drink enough. In order to get hot water, I need to regularly supply electricity. If in this boiler there is sometimes little electricity and no electricity, it will be never become hot. So in the same way, in your spiritual life, if you sometimes read and other times not, you will not come to the level where you can taste the juice and nectar. Regularity is very, very, very essential and crucial in your practice.
Okay, Maharaj, we have a question.
Yeah, I'm just answering the one second. I will come back to you in a second. So regularity is important. And the third process which you have to do, you have to make some effort Advaita. Every day you go to the literature, and while you read, focus your mind and listen with attentiveness. This, of course, this attention to spiritual subjects is easy for someone who has a pure mind. Therefore, it's important to keep the be pure in one's activities and in one's habits, eating, you know, every and other habits. It's important. And then with these three things, what was it? Giving some initial faith, reading regularly, and then making this effort to be really there. You will soon feel a flood of nectar in your life. Thank you. Very nice question. And it was nice to see you. I have gotten a few emails. Now I know who's Advaita from Italy. Thank you. Yes, our dear host, you have a question. Please post the question from one of the listeners.
The question is from Ponganima Semola. The devotees, bhaktas, hate both the Mayavadis and the Buddhist philosophies. And that is because both of them deny the existence of Krishna as a person in the ultimate issue. Mayavadis are worse, as they already said, because they do not deny the existence of God or Krishna. No, they say they believe in Krishna. These days, most of them are chanting Hare Krishna and living in ISKCON temples because they like the spiritual process. They like performing austerities and following Vedic rituals. They are attached to all these spiritual things and they believe in Krishna. They may be worshipping Krishna also, but ultimately they think Krishna is just a temporary manifestation of the eternal and all pervasive impersonal Brahman energy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you for asking such a philosophical question. We have some deep philosophers in South Africa. That's very nice to hear. You are right. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that there are two kinds of living entities. The fallible, these are the charas, and then the infallible, the aksharas. So everyone who has come into this material world belongs into the category of the fallible. The infallible living entities are the personal associates of Krishna. Now, beyond this two groups, there is the Supreme Being, the Paramatma, who comes into the world and maintains it. And then beyond this Paramatma is Lord Krishna, who performs spiritual pastimes. Now, if we as fallible living entities who are here in this world think about Krishna, who is so beyond everything, he's beyond the infallible, he's beyond the Paramatma, then we are bound to make mistakes. And one mistake is that we do not really take Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to whom we surrender. Someone who is an impersonalist, who has not really accepted Krishna as the supreme lovable person, will have a great difficulty to surrender his life to Krishna. And this is a situation of many of those who also come to the temple. They may stay in the temple. They may do the pleasant activities like chanting, eating prasadam, dancing, to the nice kirtan. Yes, that all may be there, but they might experience difficulties to surrender to the will of the Lord, to do selfless service for quite some time. And that is the lack of surrender is there when you have not yet fully accepted that Krishna is the supreme lovable person, the supreme entity. So how to correct this? Hear a lot about Krishna from the scriptures. Associate with the devotees. Talk with them. Talk about also whatever doubt is there in your heart. Although you may be a devotee, there may be still some doubts. Huh? Although you may live in the temple, there may be some doubts. And then do this practice of chanting Hare Krishna in a way where you allow the sound vibration to touch you, to touch your heart, and then all the problems and misunderstandings will eventually be cleared out for good. To not return, to never return. Thank you. Now, 2 more minutes are there.
Yes, we have 2 more minutes, Maharaj. But we still have 4 questions. Will it be okay with Maharaj to answer the rest of the questions or
yes,
conclude the program?
100%. But not more questions than 4, because I have a guest coming very soon. So please let us start with the first question.
Okay, thank you, Maharaj. This is from Vrinda Sharma. Reflecting back on the story of following the North Star, it also feels that there is an element of faith which supports one to go deeper. I experience sometimes heartfeltness where there is...
I experience sometimes what?
I experience sometimes heartness where there feels to be 2 sides which show its presence. How can one build his faith more increasingly within the heart with confidence?
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The question is clear. I feel sometimes hard-heartedness, a hard heart, not a soft heart. And that means my faith is weaker. How can I keep or build my faith? To build one's faith is the most important building one does in this life. It needs, just like any building, you need to know the building blocks, you know, the bricks, and you sometimes also need some repairs, like any person who builds a building knows, oh, sometimes we need to repair. So the building blocks of faith are really these 2 things. You study the Shastra, you read regularly, and then you associate with Vaishnavas and you discuss with them about the subjects. I think a very, very nice way to build one's faith is to listen to seminars, you know, where not just only 1 lecture is given, but a series of lectures which go build upon each other. And I highly recommend you to listen again to the seminars of Sutapa Prabhu, who gave a beautiful presentation on the first 6 cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there are so many things in the Bhagavatam which really will help you to build your faith, especially because they are presented by such a wonderful Vaishnava who is so Krishna conscious and so elevated. So So that helps you. These are the two building blocks of faith: philosophy, but presented by a nice Vaishnava, a very, very good Vaishnava. And then sometimes you need to repair your faith. Sometimes it may happen that some catastrophic experiences comes in your life where you feel shaken in your faith. It may be also that you meet people who are very strong but who have little or a broken faith and you become affected. So sometimes you need to repair your faith. You need to see, where am I a little weak? Where do I really not believe this? Where do I not understand it? And then not be shy, but confront it. No? Like once, Prabhupada taught us in this. He said, what is the proof that Krishna is God? Good question, no? What is the proof that Krishna is God? So some devotee said, "What, Prabhupada, you told us." Prabhupada said, no, I may just be an old man who says something. What is the proof that Krishna is God? Well, there's a scripture, said another devotee, Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. The scripture, said Prabhupada, someone may have written it down. It's not a proof. What is the proof that Krishna is God? Think for a moment, all of you who are online now. How would you answer this? What is the proof that Krishna is God? After some time, Prabhupada helped us out by supplying this answer. The proof that Krishna is God is in your experience. When you chant and when you serve him, you make a certain experience. That's the proof that Krishna is God. At another time he gave another answer, but that other answer I will tell you at another time. Good. You need to build your faith by knowing what are the building blocks of faith. I've given you a suggestion. And you need to sometimes repair where it is broken, no? By inquiring and having good association where you discuss these things or in any other way so that you can find the answers. Thank you. What is the second question?
Second question is from Diksha. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my respectful obeisances. O glories to you, O glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for helping us to connect to Lord Krishna through Kirtan and Katha. How to stay determined when we take to practice but unable to carry it for a long time, and or how to remain steady in practice? Your aspiring servant, Diksha. Delhi, India.
Yeah, we have listeners even from India today. That is very encouraging. So to stay determined, is not always easy if you don't know how to nourish or strengthen the determination. See, determination often gets weak, almost like the body. It gets weak over a whole day if you don't supply enough food and enough rest to the body. In the same way, the mind, in which we form our determination, can become weak if we do not nourish it sufficiently. The best way to nourish your determination is that from time to time you seek the association of those who have a determined spiritual practice. Or, if you cannot find such persons, it's good to sometimes do things like observe a special time that makes you more determined, like Ekadasi, for instance, where you add a little bit spiritual practice to your life, or a month like the month of Kartik. That can help you to refocus on the goal of your life. So, in one sentence, you need to know how to nourish your determination by association, but also by determined practice during a certain window of time, you know, Ekadasi or a month like Kartik. Thank you very much. What is the third question? At the moment I cannot hear you. Is there maybe a failure or?
There's a comment from Bafana saying, Hare Krishna Maharaj, please come to South Africa. And there's a question from Selassie. Hare Krishna, how does one clear away the mental and environmental clutter in this material world while attempting to follow the principles of the three P's?
Thank you. Thank you. First of all, thank you for your invitation to South Africa. I have to get the permission of Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, but I'm saying in a joyful way. Yes, I was once in South Africa. I went to Durban and Johannesburg, these two towns, and to the Drakensberg. We were there, and yes, let's see when the lockdown is there. And also, I have a lot of very wonderful seva at the moment. It is not I cannot give a commitment. I have to discuss with my team. We are doing, oh Krishna, we have found our North Star and we are very determined. Yes, about the last question, how do we become free from mental clutter? These are all the things, you know, which burden us, which give us stress, and which sometimes make us restless and disturbed and so on. I'm now working on a book. It is called Inner Stillness, and we think it, if everything goes well, we have printed it by April, around April time. And there I talk a lot about the subject of mental clutter, you know, mental, just too full, like, you know, often our mind is like an old room where there are so many old furnitures. Some things are even giving a bad smell, some thoughts, some habits, and so on. It is a big subject, but I would really hear on this call only focus on one thing: bring in the light of Krishna consciousness. You may have in the Drakensberg, I think they are called Drakensberg, or in the South African mountains, you may have caves that are very old caves. There's a lot of darkness inside. That if you bring just one match and hold it in the cave, the darkness will go even though it may be really old darkness, it may be really very persistent darkness, it goes. So sometimes in life, when we feel mentally so dark in here, so cluttered, so filled up, we have to make a program which we follow with discipline. For instance, you may have to change some habits in your life. Let me give you the example. Say I feel I don't get anything done in the day and I feel very unproductive and very frustrated. Every day just goes without anything significant happening. Then I might decide, well, let me get up a little bit earlier. But how can I get up if I don't create favorable circumstances, like for instance in the going earlier to bed and taking restful sleep, informing myself how I can sleep better and get more rest in the sleep. So this was one example. If you want to unclutter the mind, it's like wanting to get up earlier, but if you do not know what circumstances in your life are favorable for that, what circumstances in your life are helping this uncluttering process, it will be very difficult. I suggest for one simple method for uncluttering the mind and with it to unclutter the life. I suggest that you can see that you find a good time in the morning for spiritual practice, because that will put all the healthy informations into your mind. It should be good spiritual practice. If you feel your spiritual practice stinks even after so many years, then you must find out how to improve it, to make it work, that it really nourishes you and fills you with inner peace, hope, happiness, and Krishna consciousness. Create the right circumstances, then your mind will naturally become uncluttered. I thank you very much. It was such a pleasure to stay with you on this call. It is the first time that I'm on this particular call. Our Kadamba Kanana Maharaj has kindly connected me with the right people. And I thank all of you very much. And I wish you all the best. Please take three things away from this call. Read in the philosophy daily. That's the first P. One moment. I just need a pen, which Gokrishna will give me. Yes. The first P stands for philosophy. Philosophy. Every day you should follow that. The second P stands for the right people. Yes. Sadhus. Inspiring people who can uplift you, not people who pull you, who either leave you on your level or pull you down. And the third P stands for practice. These three P's, oops, here. I would love you to take home and to practice starting today. Good morning, South Africa. Read something. Look for the right association and engage in the nourishing practice. Thank you so much, and Hari Hari Bo, Hari Bo. Thank you.
Thank you.
What is your name? What is one moment? Let me just Prabhu, just the Prabhu who was whose picture I saw. What is your name?
My name is Savya Sachi.
Savya Sachi, Prabhu, I remember you. Please, I want to embrace you, Savya Sachi. I remember you. Very nice devotee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for an amazing and wonderful class and for sharing.